Our subject tonight I've entitled Jacob's Journey. We read this scripture, and you might want to keep your Bibles open, especially the Genesis chapter 28, as it details Jacob's journey. At the start of this journey, Jacob was a man who was a little dejected and discouraged. Well, I should say a lot dejected and discouraged. He was going through some rough times in his life. And I'm sure these problems weighed on his mind as he took his journey. Problem number one. His brother hated him. Genesis 27:41. We read that. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." So Jacob always had to be looking over his shoulder. Would this be the day that the violence would erupt? He lived in fear. And so as he traveled on this journey, he had the thought about his brother's hatred toward him on his mind. Problem number two was loneliness as he traveled. Jacob was a mama's boy. He had always been close to Rebecca. But as we picture him today, he's alone. Rebecca said she was concerned about the wife that he would get, and she had talked Isaac into sending him to her old kinsfolk to get a wife. To Haran, that was his destination. It was about 500 miles away. Now, if you would use a freeway and a Ford Explorer, that's about a 7 to 8 hour drive. But considering that he had to walk or ride most of the way, we can see that it would be a lonely couple of weeks till he would get there. He didn't have his mom with him. Problem number three was his anxiety over whether he would make it safely to Haran and also whether he would ever make it back. And that he was worried, it was evident in God's words that he said to him in chapter 28, verse 15. God said, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to you." So not only did he have his problem that his brother hated him, not only did he have the loneliness on him as he traveled, not only did he have on him the anxiety over whether he was going to make it to the place he was going or whether he was going to make it back, but he also had problem number four. And that was his spiritual condition as he traveled. A.W. Tozer said about Jacob, he said, "Jacob's condition of soul and mind as he began his eventful journey from Canaan to Haran must have been that of a man under deep conviction of soul, hopeless in his alienation. The world that he thought was his to control by guile and deception suddenly had fallen apart. He had just deceived and cheated his aged blind father. Setting out from home for a distant land, he could only have wondered if he would ever see Isaac again. Then, too, his strong, hairy brother Esau, whom he had cheated out of his birthright and then out of his father's blessing, was making serious threats to kill him. Mother, Rebecca, the instigator of Jacob's most serious deception, had advised Jacob's departure, arguing her desire that he take a wife in the country from which she came. Jacob well knew he was not going after a wife. He was going away in haste to save his own crooked hide." Unquote. Probably it would have been more difficult to find anywhere in history a man more miserable or more lonely or more guilty as Jacob as he left his father and mother and home, and traveled on this journey. Can you just picture him as he traveled? Head bent, shoulders slumped, his mind thinking about Esau's hatred and how that affected his life. But his mind also thinking about Rebecca and her love for him, that he knew he was leaving, and his mind alternating between that love and the hatred, the two extremes. But I think there might have been one other issue that weighed on his soul. Where was God in all this? Have you ever been to that spot? Isaac had talked to him about God and his personal involvement in his life. Isaac had told him about God and how God in the past had appeared to Isaac. How the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." Isaac had told how God had spoken to his grandfather Abraham. But yet, it was so distant. This was the God of Isaac. This was the God of Abraham. But where was the God of Jacob? If God was real, why was he fleeing like a vagabond? If he was to be the father of many nations by God's blessing, then why was he, a king, fleeing like a common servant? I believe in Jacob, he saw two different books for his life. He saw, on one hand, the fairy tale edition, where a living God would work splendor in his life and make him a mighty patriarch over many nations. But on the other hand was this book called reality. Guilt, hatred, loneliness, this 500-mile journey. Which book is real? Where is God in all this? Where is my life really headed? Have you ever been there too? But at least Jacob was thinking. You know, trials in life have a way of doing that. Trials open our minds to the eternal. Trials open our minds to what really matters. I know each of us, people that we know best, we know that there are certain times we can talk to them about things, and we know that there are certain times maybe it's best not to talk to them about things, where they won't be receptive, they won't be open. Well, God didn't have to wait. He brought this trial upon Jacob with the purpose of opening his mind so that he could talk with him. So picture this lonely, dejected man walking down the road. Picture the burden of the emotional turmoil on his back. Picture the physical tiredness of his body. And we see Jacob coming to a certain spot, as the KJV says. This certain spot was possibly the place where Abraham had before offered sacrifices. Possibly from his grandfather's description, Jacob recognized it. And he decided that he was going to pitch camp there. The sun was setting. We see him selecting a stone to use for a pillow. What a discouraged man. And he lay on his head on this stone. He lay down to sleep, this sad, dejected head. And he went to sleep. And in the morning, we see a man with a different attitude. We see a man who's excited about God. He views God as a personal God. We see him talking to God. We see him taking actions of personal holiness. I want to focus on this aspect. What happened during the night that gave him that fresh start? And the reason we need to know is because I believe each of us could use a fresh start, couldn't we? Perhaps there in your life, there's trials. Perhaps in your life, everything seems to be going wrong. Perhaps in your life, you have started on this hand, doubting God. God's word says I'm to be this and this, but in reality, I am this and this. It's almost like it's a fairy tale. What you believe God expects you to be compared to the reality of your life. And you, like Jacob, need a fresh start. As we look into the events of that night, we see some things happen that gave him a different attitude. It says as his head rested, he dreamed. He saw a ladder extending from heaven to earth. Now perhaps some of you, maybe you picture like an 8-foot step ladder. I kind of like to picture a ladder maybe 40 foot wide at the base. And as it reached up into heaven, it appears to get narrower and narrower. And Jacob saw angels going from heaven to earth, and he saw angels going from earth to heaven. And then, for the first time, he heard the voice of God speaking. What we have here is called a theophany. A theophany is where Jesus Christ, before his birth, appears to people in the Old Testament and speaks to them. The voice of God said to him, in verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Abraham, of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Notice the wordings. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. Now he was talking to Jacob. So now for the first time, he realizes God is the God of Jacob. What a spark of excitement this must have put through his soul in the morning. He is the God of Jacob. Perhaps for the first time, God became a personal God to him. Before this, to him, God had only lived in doctrine. God had only lived in theory. God had only lived as a historical figure. But now he was real. And Jacob grasped hold of him. He was a personal God to him. He saw him with his eyes. He heard him with his ears. He was a God of Jacob, a personal God. Now it didn't matter the problems with Esau. It didn't matter that he was away from his beloved mother. God was alive. God was real. God was personally involved in his life. Notice in verse 15, God mentions the word you 6 times in reference to Jacob. I am with you. I will watch over you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Wow, no wonder the change in attitude of Jacob. A personal God who was involved in the details of his life. Do you see God as a personal God who's involved in the details of your life? I am the God of, put your name there. I am the God of Ray Moore. Put your name there. I am the God of, or to you, is he just a doctrinal statement? Or is he just a historical figure? We need so to realize that God is a personal God to us. We don't need a dream. Scripture says he knows the very hairs of our head, the numbers of them. Surely he knows the problems you are going through. Romans 5, verse 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. He personally died for you. Do we view God as that personal God? I believe the second aspect that Jacob saw that gave him a fresh start from the burdens of life that weighed him down was that he now realized he had access to God. Before this, we don't have any record of God talking to Jacob. Before this, we have no record of Jacob talking to God. But now he sees that ladder. That ladder provides access to God from earth to heaven, from heaven to earth. And I believe Jacob needed this connection to realize that God was someone he could have access to at any time. Notice in verse 20 and 21, we see Jacob talking. And I believe it was a vow he made, and I believe it was a vow he made to God. He said, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. God, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that I have. God, I know you are listening to me, Jacob said. Isn't that beautiful? Do you picture God as accessible? Perhaps in our trials, so many times in our trials, God seems so far away. He seems so silent. He seems so removed. Brothers and sisters, we have the promise. He is at our fingertips. He is accessible. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We don't only have access, we have confidence in access. 1 John 5:14, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Are we excited about that access? Another aspect of God that must have excited Jacob was God's promise of blessing to him. Remember, this was this weary, discouraged, guilt-ridden, fearful man that walked along the road. But then in verse 14, it says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now his dad, Isaac, had blessed him twice. But yet when you consider the controversy that had surrounded that blessing, when you consider the hatred of Esau, when you consider the loneliness that it brought about, when you consider the doubt that Jacob had upon his mind, the blessings that Isaac gave, maybe they kind of sounded hollow to him. They must have sounded kind of like far away. Will anything like that ever really happen to me? But now the Lord said, and Jacob believed the voice of the Lord throughout any doubts that had been in his mind. Brothers and sisters, what promises do we have from the Lord that we should be rejoicing at every day, no matter what kind of trials we're going through? Should we not rejoice that we are joint heirs with him? Should we not rejoice in the inheritance that we have, being brothers of Christ? Jacob had a fresh start. As we contemplate our many blessings through Jesus Christ, it will give us a fresh start. Next, we need to look at the actions, the results that happened when he became alive spiritually after the dream. Each of us needs our Bethel. Each of us has traveled through the valley of Esau. We have walked down the path of despair and discouragement. We need our Bethel. Bethel means house of God. He felt God's presence there when before he had felt an absence. What were the results of this Bethel experience? First of all, he had a change of attitude, and we already looked at that to some degree. In verse 16 and 17, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Before there had been emotion of fear towards Esau. Now there was an emotion of fear towards God and all towards God. Before there had been negative thoughts about God's presence. Now it was just all positive. God, surely you're in this place. Before there might have been an attitude of self-confidence and self to try to get things done. But now he's confident in the Lord. How awesome is this place? The last couple of weeks, months, maybe years, I don't know what emotions might have been strong for you. I believe some of you possibly have feared things which you should not have feared. I believe some of us possibly have had negative thoughts about things we shouldn't have thought negative about. I believe some of us might have had self-confidence in ourselves when we shouldn't have self-confidence in ourselves. Let's leave these emotions behind. Let's leave them behind. Let's go for a fresh start. Let's start fearing God. Let's realize that the Lord is in our life, that He's a personal God, that we have access to Him, that we can have confidence in God alone. We need this positive attitude. Secondly, we see his fresh start resulted in him seeking to serve God. It's interesting that when God had personally talked to Abraham and Isaac, it was kind of one-sided. God had told them how he would bless them, and that's kind of where the conversation ended. But with Jacob, we see him responding back to God. Like we read in verse 20 to 22, the vow that Jacob made. God, if you're with me, you're going to keep me. You're going to give me bread to eat. You're going to keep me safe. You're going to bring me to my father's house in peace. And then this stone I will set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. God, you blessed me. I desire to have a relationship. God, you have blessed me. I will give you a tenth of everything. Jacob chose to serve God that had chosen him and to seek to do whatever he could to serve. Have any of us been blessed by God? Have we blessed God back in return? Each of us is on life's journey. God wants to change you just like he changed Jacob. Will we lay aside our fears? Will we lay aside our discouragement? Will we lay aside our self-confidence? And will we put our trust in the personal God? You know, I believe Jacob was away from home far longer than he thought he was going to be. He needed this personal God to help him every step of the way. Will you trust him? Will you surrender your life to him? We want to turn our thoughts in a little different direction. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 1, verse 50. We're going to look at verses 50 and 51. Here we have the account of Nathanael. It's believed that as Nathanael was reading scripture, he was very possibly reading the account of Jacob's ladder when Philip found him. And he, like Jacob, possibly had doubts about things in his life. Why didn't the Messiah appear? Where is he? Nathanael probably thought, if he is a personal God, why isn't he getting involved with us? And Jesus said to him, John chapter 1, verses 50. Jesus said to him in John chapter 1, verse 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. You see, Jesus Christ is that ladder. Jesus Christ is the ladder. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to God. He stands between God and man. He represents God and he represents man. He is our ladder of access. Ephesians 2 verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Who is it? Right. The man Christ Jesus. Job cried in Job 9 verse 33, neither is there any days, man, betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Jesus Christ is that ladder that allows us to look and see the face of God and learn. When in faith we look upon Jesus Christ, we see the everlasting face of God revealed to mankind. Christ in the flesh. If you saw Jesus Christ, you have seen God. If Jesus Christ is in you, God is in you. Jesus Christ shows us the exact image of God. Colossians 1 verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In Jesus Christ, the ladder, the access is right at our feet. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. We can pray directly to him. We do not need to go to a priest and confess to the priest our sins. We have access directly. Through Jesus Christ, we now sit in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ stretches from heaven to earth, providing us with communion with God and with communication, providing us with the blessings of God, providing us with this unheard access to God that the world had never known before. In closing, I'd like to leave us with this thought. Jesus said, you know, he is the ladder. If that is so, where does that put us in the typology of this dream? Are we not the body of Christ? Are we not the body of Christ? If Christ dwells in you and you dwell in Christ, if he is the Lord, and you are his visible body. You see, we become part of that ladder through Jesus Christ. That means we stand in the midst of this cursed world. We stand between God and man. You represent God through Jesus Christ only. You have the message of reconciliation. You have within you the awesome responsibility through Jesus Christ to reconcile this world to our holy God. What an awesome responsibility to us saints. You are the ladder through Jesus Christ. Are there wrongs missing? Are they cracked and creaking? Have you failed to act like the body of Christ? I want to encourage each of us as we go forth from this week, that we would learn from the lesson of Jacob. That we would take our discouragements directly to our Father. That we would quit our doubting our Father. That we would quit doubting each other. That we would grow in him. That we would be united. And that as a body of Christ, we would have a new start. We would have a new beginning, and that God's blessings would pour down upon us. Jacob chose to believe. But we believe, but we have a new beginning. May God bless you.